think I can handle it?
Very good then, Mr. McGinnis. Welcome to my world.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice.
Of Justice fans, we didn't do a show. We make an announcement that we got a co-host, and we had a plan, and all of a sudden we went a week, we didn't do a show. These people are like, these guys aren't serious. I know these guys aren't serious. Hello everyone, I'm Seth Everett. Victor Dandridge is here. Hey, how are you, Victor?
What's going on?
We had a plan to record, but a couple of things happened. Number one, work got in the way.
Yes.
That damn sportscasting. And then Prince died.
Great. Which just set the entire world back.
And I hadn't told you my history with him at the time.
No, you hadn't. You were holding me in the dark there, and I don't appreciate that. It was just
something that never came up. Like, it's not something I ever advertised. Like, it's not on my resume, for example. It was something I worked on a project for anybody who's listening to this. Who doesn't know my other work, I'm a sportscaster, and in 2013, I worked on a project with Prince. Prince produced a webcast that I did for 11 months, and so I know that world. I've been a huge fan for years, but I know that whole world. So when he died, I was reached out, you know, I had social media and people. There's a chunk of followers, not a lot, you know, not in huge numbers, but of the followers that I have, I would say 1/6 of my follower, or yeah, 1/6 of my followers are just Prince fans.
Of course.
They followed me when I did that show. So, I mean, the outpouring from, can you believe it? Like, people are heartbroken.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. And I just thought that all the stuff that's being written, most of it's really complimentary. And you know, yeah, there's salacious rumors. You know, I don't think he had AIDS, but he might have. And if he did, it's not my fault. It's not any, you know, it's not our place to judge. There are plenty of people that have had AIDS. I do believe he had a hip problem, and he was in agony. And Victor, I told you when we started doing the show together, I hurt my back.
Right.
And Percocet's in my house. I have it.
Right.
And there were nights that I'm not going to lie, I could not go to sleep unless I took Percocet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I understand. I'm not condoning, but I don't think he's a drug addict.
No. I mean, maybe based on some of the content that he's produced where you're like, he had to be in an altered state to come to that conclusion. But I don't know, man. I think he was just it was an unfortunate circumstance of things that happened to him. Nothing malicious, nothing salacious, just an unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it's just a shame. But I do think that there's certain synergies. I mean, he died in an elevator.
Right.
Are we going to let the elevator bring us down, punch a higher floor?
Damn, that's deep.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of neat. You know, he's obsessed with numbers.
Right.
You know, with the number 7 being a big number for him.
Right.
He died on 4/21.
Wow.
4/21. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff, and it's spooky. I'm very interested in what happens to Paisley Park. I'm very interested to see what happens to his legacy.
Right.
I cannot believe this guy didn't have a will, and the reason why I can say that is the guy spent half of his career in a courtroom,
right, fighting over the rights for stuff. How do you not
right
protect?
How did he not protect that? I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked.
Yeah.
But I also know that, you know, from doing all my research from working there, that in the 80s, in the late 70s, early 80s, he would record stuff and leave tapes in people's cars.
Yes, I saw
that. That's how the vault got created, is because he was sloppy.
Right.
So, you know, at one point, I can believe.
Maybe, that, just maybe, he might have gone without.
I don't know. But we're back, and it didn't seem right. The plan was we were going to record, and then I got bounced around. You were moving,
yeah,
and we had all these things going on. And then all of a sudden, it was, do we want to get up at the crack of dawn and talk about Supergirl when there was all these things happening?
Right.
And I just was like, you know what?
Let's
anything that we were going to say last week, we can say this
exactly.
week. All right. So starting off, Civil War
mm-hmm.
is out in the UK.
Yes.
We don't live in the UK, so we can't do a spoiler for it. But the reviews that I have read so far say it is phenomenal.
Yes.
They say it's the best movie Marvel has made to date.
Now that's interesting, because the things that I've seen from some of the people stateside who have seen it put it on par with Winter Soldier, but not better than Winter Soldier. You think there's a difference between Waters? What do you think?
No, I have to see it to acknowledge that Winter Soldier I like.
Right.
My things with Winter Soldier. I didn't think S.H.I.E.L.D. needed to come down like that.
Okay.
And it anytime something involves S.H.I.E.L.D., it bothers me that they don't know that Coulson's alive.
I understand that. Yeah.
I don't know. But in Civil War, if you're telling me supposedly Spider-Man has a significant role,
right,
and so does Black Panther,
right,
you take that plus Robert Downey Jr. Like, I can't imagine Winter Soldier is better than Civil War. I don't know. We'll see.
Dude, I understand. From what I've been told, the idea is that it doesn't peak it. Like, it matches Winter Soldier. And I don't know if that's just because Winter Soldier did something that nobody expected, and that's why they loved it so much. But from what I've been told, it is not actually better than, but it at least meets Winter Soldier.
I spoke to one person who has actually been on this podcast, and I don't want to give their name out because they haven't, you know, said this publicly.
Right.
But they said that it's going to be hard for Infinity War to not be over the top comic book
crazy
popcorn.
Right. I can understand that.
That this is a dark story, but it's not too dark. What I have understood is that the battle between Iron Man and Captain America, you totally get.
Okay. Okay.
Whereas in Batman Superman, it was forced.
Got you.
Doesn't mean Batman Superman was a bad movie.
Right,
it's
but just this conflict is easier to see coming.
Do you agree with that?
So this is kind of unfair of sorts, because I have the background of the Civil War comic book, and that.
Now, did you love the comic book?
I did. Written by Mark Miller, as a buddy of mine, and art by Steve McNiven. That book was the pinnacle of comic book mega events, in my opinion, of the last 10 years. Like,
well, it was an event that wasn't a crisis. It wasn't a, like, universe colliding. Podcast guest?
Yeah. I mean, listen. When I say my friend,
next week podcast guest?
Very, very, like, very, very loose with that term. We speak on
okay.
many occasions.
Does he know who you are?
He does know who I am. But it's one of those things where we've never actually vocally spoke to one another. It's always been through emails or tweets or things like
that.
Oh,
emails. Oh, now. Well, I know how to write an email.
Well,
I can tell you.
We can definitely do that. But no. Like, he actually features the Black, White, and Red All Over review series that I do on his website. Like, he actually, like, saw us do this review series, and we talked about his books a few times and really enjoy his stuff, and he liked what we were doing, so he actually asked could he feature it on his site. So we've been doing that for a little bit over 6 months, I think, that we've been featured on his site there. And so that's kind of how we kind of got to know each other. And, you know, he's been, you know, really awesome sending me, you know, preview stuff of books that aren't out yet. Like, I actually have the first three issues of his new series, Empress, which the first issue just came out the 6th of April, and I have the following two issues already. So I say friends because, I mean, he's definitely been, you know, really nice and bringing me into some cool stuff. But we've never like spoken like vocally. We've never been in the same room together. So, I mean, I could always ask, but I just want to give that caveat that it's not like we call each other on Tuesdays, but you know, I definitely consider him a friend. More so an idol. Like I just tell him
you're Mark Bernard and see what he says.
Say what?
Just tell him you're Mark Bernard.
I might do that. I might be like, hey, man, you know. But no, having read the comic, though, I can see, honestly, like the whole idea of ideological differences almost comes from Batman v Superman's setup. Like the whole idea of them in Dark Knight Returns having that conflict is what Mark was able to capture in Civil War in its essence. You had, you know, one guy who like ideologically went about things in such a totally different direction than what the other guy went for. And that was what the problem is. And I think like it was a clash that we had never thought between Cap and Iron Man. It never registered how sensible it would be for those two to not work sometimes, you know, for them to clash. And so if Batman v Superman is ruled as like a rush to try to make that happen, I can definitely say that the parts and pieces that have already been established in the Marvel Cinematic Universe will make this make sense effortlessly, like absolutely effortlessly.
Right. It'll just fit, and that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that would be pretty darn interesting if you ask me. One other movie note that I just saw, shifting gears. Mm-hmm. There's a report that 20th Century Fox pulled out of San Diego Comic-Con Hall H panel out of piracy fears.
Yes.
This is something I've been saying all along. I don't understand. Look, I went to, you know, 8 or 9 Comic-Cons last year. I see what San Diego Comic-Con is. I don't understand. We did a whole thing. Ming Chen and I did 4 podcasts the nights of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Because we said you do not need to be there to have all the information.
Right.
These panels come out, they're tweeted immediately. Any trailers come out, they're on YouTube.
Right.
There's no point to having you don't need to be there.
Right.
I feel bad for the people that wait online to see, you know, the Batman Superman trailer that I saw in my house.
Exactly.
And so if 20th Century Fox is trying to, you know, suggest there's no word on whether or not it would be Wolverine 3, and that's what people are interested in. There's also a new X-Men Apocalypse trailer,
right,
that has the claws, so there's now talk about Wolverine making a cameo in X-Men Apocalypse.
Right.
I don't know. I just think – I don't think Comic-Cons are going away by any stretch, but I just think that the focus can't be on this news-making because – what's the point of exclusivity if everybody gets it anyway?
Right. And honestly, I feel like that's a valid and smart move for them, particularly as they are trying to fight against the Disney super machine, you know, that is owning everybody on the superhero movie scene. Like, as I understand it, like Disney is possibly not going as well, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe hasn't been there at least last year either. And I think that that's a big statement of what, you know, Disney has brought to the table by having Marvel when they have the D23 Expo, that they don't need Comic-Con, you know. Even when they did it, what was it, when they did the big announcement that told us about Captain America Civil War coming, what was that, 2 years ago? When they did that big thing at the El Capitan Theater. That was like a crazy offshoot on a Tuesday for no good reason. And that's when they introduced Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, gave us that long timeline of upcoming films. People went nuts, and you didn't need Comic-Con to do it. When you don't need San Diego, that's a big deal. And I think that Deadpool has given Fox enough, you know, juice right now that they can say that we possibly have something on deck that we don't want spoiled, that we don't necessarily want to just give away like that. They want to have a controlled means of giving it out. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see something like the El Capitan Theater showcase for something from Fox. That would be smart on their part.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. No, you're absolutely right. It'll be interesting to see it just, you know, how the trends go, because, you know, does this take some of the luster off of Comic-Con, and, you know, does this hit them in any way?
Right.
It doesn't look like they will. So we'll wait and see. It is now the last week of April when we record this podcast and when it's being released. And as of this recording, Supergirl has still not been renewed.
Ooh, ooh.
It's getting dicey.
It is.
I have my theory. I know we haven't talked about the finale, which I thought was underwhelming. But I want the show to survive. I think that they have enough to work with there. You know, I have my complaints. You have your complaints. And I think that we're not wrong in complaining. I just think that I think it's worth them getting another shot, another crack, because I think they have great, they have a great foundation. But I also think it's expensive.
Yeah.
The need for effects grows, because I think they ran out of money at the end.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Some of their fights were very lame. But on the flip side, I would do it as a miniseries.
Okay.
I would bring everybody back and do 13. I wouldn't bring them back. They did 20 this
right.
year, and I wouldn't do 20. I would do 8 or 13. And you can make it an event,
right.
and you can make a big deal about it. And if you can, maybe do it while, you know, the Flash and Arrow are in hiatus,
mm-hmm.
and become, you know, and own a certain time slot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my theory. That's what I would do. I wouldn't cancel it. I would bring it back, and I would bring it back in a short stint. Because, first of all, my daughters adore it. Now, they are young enough that if Supergirl gets canceled, I have to buy the Blu-ray and just re-show them the show, because they thought the finale was great.
Well, I mean,
she goes on television and tells everybody to hope.
I mean, well, that's beautiful, but that's the thing. Like, there is almost a patronizing tone to it, where at a certain age, you can't just accept that and run with it. Like, you have to have a little bit more meat to that bone. And that's what I think was the biggest folly of what Supergirl did for itself, or didn't do for itself. It didn't give itself enough. It didn't give itself enough of sincerity to know that Supergirl could stand on its own. She really became, in a lot of ways, Diet Superman, which should not have been what the case was for her. Like, not at all. And it's funny too, because like you said, we've had, you know, different ideas of what went wrong. I've actually spent the last week trying to figure out what they could do that would totally save it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready.
I think they should do a short, you know, made-for-TV movie, CBS style, make it an hour and a half, you know, long thing, and basically it resets what the first season was. So I'm talking, we actually do, and this is the funny thing, because this is what I said has been the biggest problem with the current superhero DC Universe movie stuff, is that they don't have the Legion of Superheroes. I say, in this little short movie thing, bring in the Legion, say that something is wrong, like all the stuff that happened in season one wasn't right. Like, they know it's not right, and so they're coming back to fix it, and so they're taking her and end up redoing different parts of season one. The things that really worked, let those stand, and then we start season two off with this fixed, quote-unquote, universe that, in my estimation, Superman should be off-world, so that we were not relying on little hints and tidbits of him where we're not really going to see him. Let him be off-world for a while, even. And allow Kara to establish herself as this awesome Kryptonian figure that has these amazing stories that, you know, can go in multiple different places, that can bring in Barry, can bring in, you know, Arrow if necessary, but then still, you know, maintain different cool things that are all unique to her own universe.
Well, I mean, I think the Legion would happen in season two.
Okay.
If they were going to do that.
Right.
I don't know if they would do like what Barry did when Barry went back and revisited season one, which I thought was really neat.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that's where you got the idea from. I think that ultimately the stuff about Superman, I just think they wrestle with what they can and can't do.
Right.
They're allowed to talk about him.
Right.
they're allowed to kind of have him in the universe, and they feel that that's necessary, whereas I say either have him or don't have him. And I don't know what would change in season two, only because you've heard rumors about Tom Welling. There's been rumors about some other ideas. The reason why I say that is I thought it was so stupid that this myriad, you know, affects every person in National City except for Supergirl.
Right.
Superman texts her and says, I'm on my way, gets there, lands, and is immediately mind controlled.
Right.
Why is Superman mind controlled? Like, you never explain that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I thought it was like...
I mean, they did kind of...
Honestly...
Because he spent so much time on Earth that his brain was more like a human's. But Kara has spent a lot of time on Earth, too.
Do you remember when Ron Howard had a contract dispute with Happy Days?
I don't remember it, but I know about it.
Richie Cunningham went to college.
Right.
They talked about him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if Richie was here, he'd say, waka waka,
right.
You know, whatever it was. And that's how this felt.
Yeah, yeah.
This felt like it was insulting to see Superman in that way. Don't use him.
Right.
And if you can't do a story about a girl that's Superman's cousin and not have Superman be in it, then have Superman be in it.
Right. Don't straddle the fence. Pick a side.
I thought that was so weak.
Yeah.
I thought in the finale, the Martian Manhunter, it's like they had used up all of his powers.
Oh, like, my. And they didn't really use his powers, though. That's the
but
problem.
That was the thing. It's like they ran out of money for him.
Ah, so bad.
Like, and why, if his cover is up, why is he still Hank Henshaw?
I don't know. I don't even know. Like, I mean, I get that you want the actor. I mean, if you're paying for him, you want to see him. But at the same time, his clout skyrocketed once he became Martian Manhunter. Like, it really, really did. Hank Henshaw as a character was, I mean, cool, whatever, but Martian Manhunter, brilliant, brilliant. Let him be Martian Manhunter. I don't know why they didn't push for that.
Yeah, it was very strange. It was underwhelming. That's all I can say. It was, and then, you know, the Maxwell Lord character to me was just filler.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't care how he figured anything out. I don't care if he's a good guy or a bad guy. He's not compelling. He's not Lex Luthor. He's just there.
Right.
And, you know, they hate him. They like him. They hate him. They like him. They can't decide. And James Olsen. Okay.
I wanted to like him. Like, I thought he was a cool guy. But he is a part of the problems that I have with the straddling the fence about Superman. Because he's always, you know, hey, he said something good about you. Like, why are you the go-between between cousins? Like, that's so dumb. Like, maybe it's because I'm black and we don't do that. Like, if my cousin wants to say something to me, he doesn't send a message through his buddy. He comes and tells me. Like, we're family. Yeah. We're the ones that are actually family. Why are you talking to somebody else about me? Like, you don't air family business like that.
I don't understand. I didn't understand the whole idea of it. I don't know. It was just underwhelming. Meanwhile, The Flash and Arrow. We haven't talked since Black Canary died.
True, true.
And I have a crazy story for you. I took my kids to DC. And, oh, I should preface this by saying my brother-in-law is a photographer for Getty.
Okay.
Like, he's a professional photographer. And we were in a museum about spies. It's a really cool museum, the Spy Museum of Washington, D.C. And what they do is kids get a cover identity when you go in. And you have to pretend to be that person throughout the whole museum.
Nice.
And at the end, you get interrogated. And they say, what's your name? And my daughter's name was Maria. Her name's not Maria.
Right.
You know what I mean? And she had to pretend to be this other person. It was really neat. So, but it's very intense. I can't answer my phone. My brother-in-law calls me, and I texted him, and I said, I can't talk. What's up? I'm with Katie Cassidy.
What?
I said, you got to be. Like, are you kidding?
Right.
And I said, she remembered me from when I did a panel with her at Wizard.
Okay.
And she wanted to say hello. I said, I can't talk. I said, but tell her it better not be true that Black Canary died. And all she wrote back was, no spoilers.
Ooh.
I said, okay. I said, then I told my brother-in-law, remember that podcast I have called The Hall of Justice?
Right. Like, hey now.
The finale is in 2 weeks.
Remember that you love me.
we're efforting. That's all I can say is we're efforting. I don't know. I think that the fact that she was Dinah Laurel Lance and called Laurel always made me think she wasn't ultimately the Black Canary.
I can understand that. But, I mean, is there, like, could they ever...
Is there going to be another one?
To be her?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, to me, you don't need Lazarus Pitt. You have Barry.
Right.
That's all I can say. You have Barry.
That's true.
Do it again.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Go back and fix it. I mean, you have Barry. What is time travel for?
Well, no. I mean, come on now. You don't have to do that. Think Legends, man. And her sister's on the team? Like,
oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Her sister's out gallivanting around.
Right, through time. So, I mean, let something like that be found out. I'm almost foreseeing a Legends Green Arrow team up.
And for the record, Legends is great.
It is fun.
It's just great. It's compelling. It's time travel. These characters, they're endearing enough that you start to like them, even if you didn't like them going in. It's just great. And as good as Brandon Routh does, I still think he's Superman. So
I can understand that.
I wrestle with that. I have issues with him.
I can totally understand that. I actually just was watching.
Not to his fault.
True.
You know, not just cause.
He was a fun guy. I met him in Des Moines when we did our interview, which was, he was cool. He was a nice guy. Real nice guy.
He seems like a real down to earth guy.
Yeah.
No, there's definitely something there. Star Wars released the Rogue One trailer.
Yes.
What'd you think?
So I was really impressed with the trailer until I realized that Rogue One takes place before the original trilogy.
Right.
And call me weird, but I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep moving forward in Star Wars lore, not backwards.
Well, I mean, I've heard that argument. I mean, it's the argument against Star Wars Rebels.
Right.
Star Wars Rebels had a great season. I haven't seen the final episodes. I want to do them justice. I want to talk about them on the show. I do know that there's this big confrontation between Ahsoka and Vader.
Right.
And I guess part of Darth Vader's mask comes off.
Oh.
And so she sees Anakin.
Okay.
Which is cool, you know.
That is cool.
I'm sure it was great, but after seeing Force Awakens, I want to know how that story comes. I want to see more with Maz Kanata. I want to see the backstory of, you know, where Rey's from.
Right.
I want to see, like, there's a lot of. I want to see the evolution of the First Order.
Yeah, see that I don't mind.
I want to live in the post Empire. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, this is what Star Wars is. Look, this is such not a problem. I mean, it's not. We're not hurting anybody because of this problem. I do like the authenticity, though. The stormtroopers look like it looks old.
Okay.
It looks like it was shot 30 years ago.
Which is cool.
Which is a really neat filmmaking technique. Like it just looks like it's from Star Wars.
Right.
And if the story is these are the guys that steal the plans for the Death Star, then right on.
Right.
You know, that's great. The only thing is, if you're doing something that takes place in the same timeline as Rebels, and Vader is facing off with the Rebels, you have to reference them.
Yes, you do. If you don't, it's a missed opportunity.
Well, it's not continuity.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing, like Coulson's alive.
Right. Somebody's
if Coulson's alive, he's alive!
Oh, that's too funny. That is too funny. I hope that somehow, like, that's what gets Winter Soldier back on everybody's good graces, is when he's the one that outs that Coulson has been alive this whole time.
Right. If that happens in Civil War, I'd be ecstatic. And then, like, have the season finale of S.H.I.E.L.D. be literally, like, he gets an email from Thor or something like that. Like, just something to acknowledge that everything they're doing is not in the shadows.
Yes.
They're facing off with these cockamamie Inhumans and these people that turn into monsters and people from other planets and all of this drama, and the Avengers don't know anything.
Right. Hogwash. Crazy talk.
That's weak. Netflix announced that there's going to be a Punisher miniseries.
Yes, yes, yes.
What a great character, huh?
Bernthal was so on point. Like when he announced that he was going to be Punisher, I was like, this is the answer to the question I didn't even think to ask. And once I saw it, it was brought to life. Like, true to form, he was amazing. I can't even imagine another person. Like, Dolph Lundgren, okay, he did it, fine. You know, Thomas Jane did it, okay, fine. And Ray, what's his last name that did? He was Volstagg in Thor, and he did it. Is it Ray Stevens? Is that his name? I can't think of his name now. But has captured a better Frank Castle than John Bernthal. Dude is amazing.
No, he's nailed it. He's absolutely nailed
it.
Yeah, so Punisher is fantastic, and I like what they're doing. But I understand that it's not going to come out before Defenders.
No,
is that?
Yeah. I want to say it's the latter half of stuff.
So it's Luke Cage is next,
right?
Then Iron Fist,
right?
Then the Defenders,
right?
Then Punisher.
I think actually we get Jessica Jones season 2 first, and then Punisher.
I love Jessica Jones.
I know.
I mean, it's just incredible. That's still my favorite podcast that we ever did. I think it's episode 30.
Yes.
When we talked to the Huffington Post writer who is convinced that Jessica Jones was written by or created by rape victims.
Which is, it's a brilliant commentary point. Like, you know, it's breaking that wall down of saying that as a comic book material that it's superfluous, you know, that it doesn't have merit. That it speaks to something more than just a fights and tights scenario, man. That's brilliant. That's what we want comics to be and recognize as.
Yeah, that's no question about it. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to do a Civil War pregame show. This is what we've done for Star Wars, and we did it for Batman Superman. Yes. So Victor's going to be on board for this. We'll do a pregame show where we talk about the state of the Marvel Universe going into this movie. And then pretty darn quick after its release, we do a spoiler-filled one. That's the one that it's, you know, download beware.
Yes.
And what I've noticed is a lot of people love those because people are very respectful, for the most part, on social media about spoilers. They like to come to a place where people will spoil everything,
right?
Because they're the people who have seen the movie. And obviously this movie is going to make so much money.
Oh, okay.
You know that we're not alienating anybody.
No,
so,
not at all.
You know, I remember I said, this was funny. I was speaking at Syracuse University. And someone was asking me, they were one of the students, you know, it was like a couple hundred students in the audience. And one of the students was asking a question, had subscribed to the Hall of Justice.
Awesome.
And he asked, what about the spoiler warnings? And he says, do you ever consider taking them off? And I said, no, it's actually a hook.
Right.
I said, there's people who saw Han Solo die and want to know how he died or what, you know, like, what was our thought about how he died? And all of a sudden people in the front row go, huh?
What? He died?
I go, it was 6 months ago. Stop it.
I don't want to hear nothing. Yeah. You only have so long of a window before you actually
come on.
Like, at this point, if you don't know, then you go back to the rock that you've been living under. That's
now, I wouldn't do it for Superman.
Right.
I would save that nugget, but, you know.
You mean from Death of Superman when he died in the comics back in the 90s?
Right. All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Hall of Justice, and we'll be back next week with a Civil War pregame show. Victor, say what you got
to
say.
Dude, I am going to blow your mind with what I think is going to happen in this upcoming episode. Just you wait.
Oh, okay, that's a good tease.
Yeah.
I did think about a Prince tribute show, and I thought about doing it for both the sports podcast and this one. So we might, the next episode might be a break if I can get some of the people from Prince's camp that want to come
do
on
it.
And do it. I think it would be worthwhile. It doesn't really fit comics or sports, but I will say this. Prince in the 90s came out with two comic books.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
There are two comic books, one around the Diamonds and Pearls album and one about the Three Chains of Gold, which is like that symbol album.
Right.
And those two comic books. So technically, it does fit the holidays.
Wait, wait. You went entirely too difficult to do that. 1989 Batman soundtrack. Come on.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah. Yeah, the timing of that, I love how, you know, did you remember the rumor that Prince was going to be Robin?
Yes, yes. Which is just, you're like,
oh, my goodness.
Be great, I think.
Oh, I just want to see it. I just want to know what that is. Let's get John Schnepp to do a documentary about
that
how Prince was almost Robin.
Amazing. Between him and Marlon Wayans. I'll just do that
for you. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Just fantastic.
Yeah.
Just,
that's
pretty remarkable. All right. We'll talk about all those things coming up next in the Hall of Justice. Victor, have a good week,
buddy. You too, man.
That's Victor Dandridge. I'm Seth Everett. This is the Hall of Justice.